All right, so the last one, I guess he would be, I guess what you guys would call your main event for your gym. He was Brett Floyd, gets a unanimous decision. Now here, I don't know if you were keeping score. It was kind of interesting at this point because both your gym and Nick Catone's were undefeated at that point. You guys gave, and they had six fighters. They went 5-1. So you guys gave them their own. You guys give, they would have been the ones getting the interview and the article.
But, man, I like that.
So, Brett Floyd, he makes you guys undefeated, and he put their streak, or not their streak, but their shot of going undefeated. He killed it.
Yo, so Brett's another one I'm super proud of. Brett's a dog. Brett is one of the biggest dogs I know. Brett's one of the toughest kids, one of the toughest people I know. And I've met the toughest people all around the world. Brett's right up there at the top. He really is a dog. He's got that dog in him, and I never have doubt he's gonna fight to the end. He's been physically outmatched at times, and we going in there, I'm just so proud that he knew he had the whole streak on his back. He knew we were 4-0, and he was the last guy, and he had that on his back, and I thought he performed excellently. I saw huge improvements in his wrestling, in his his positional control, his transitions, but even like that huge slam he had in the first, chaining his wrestling together was beautiful. Whenever the bulldog goes out there, he's gonna be a dog. It's gonna be a junkyard dog fight. And I'm just really proud that he delivered. And yeah, that Catone shit makes it a little sweet too. I love those Catones guys.
Yeah, but yeah. That's, I didn't know if you. Yeah, I didn't know if you knew that or not. So I was like,
I didn't. No, so, no, this is news to me.
Yeah, so
I'll definitely be repeating this tomorrow night.
Yeah. So if you check Shorty's Facebook, he posted about it. He didn't post that. He posted, that they went 5-1. And I was thinking, man, they did lose a fight. And I look back at it. Yep, it was that one. So you guys killed their buzz for the night. But so my last thing before you, before I let you go, because I know you're. With family right now.
No, it's all good.
No, I just had one more question. So like I said, years ago, you're an amateur, you're fighting in the Sherman Theater. I'm there, I'm watching you fight, and I'm like, man, this kid's going to be in the UFC one day. A couple years later, you get this shot, and this lottery ticket you won. You took a path, that no other fighter was taking at that time to get to the UFC, right? And then you've been there for a while now. I mean, you call yourself, you're a veteran of the UFC. I mean, you've got more than a handful of fights there, and you fought, very notable fighters.
Yeah, sure.
You fought very notable fighters. But nobody talks about Mickey Gall, the coach. You're 29 years old. When did you start, when did you start taking on like a coaching role? I mean, because here we are, we're talking about amateur fighters. I don't know anybody else, really willing to go start talking about, five amateur fighters and list them and talk about where they're going to go or what they're going to do. And it's not, you're doing it. So, when did you start coaching, and what is your goal with it?
My goal with it is my only goal and my only agenda is to see those guys get the best out of themselves, accomplish whatever they want to accomplish and more. I want their dreams are, I'm here to help them get there. I'll tell them whatever I think, whether it's, something they want to hear or not. I'm just going to keep it real with them and, try to just get the best out of them. It's not like I'm in there, even 3 days a week coaching. I'm not doing a lot of coaching. I give these guys like some mindset stuff, and I give them some a couple techniques, and you got to do this, you got to do that. I'll move with them. I'll be like, I want to see more of this. This is happening too much. They're my training partners. But I'm kind of the captain of the team. I would say LJ's better at giving techniques and stuff like that. LJ's like a savant. He can watch a John Danaher video and recite the whole thing back to you the next day. LJ's a very, he's always in my corner. He's a really special part of it. But he was holding it down in the back. Like, in the back, he wrapped everybody's hands. He learns how to wrap hands. He wrapped my hands all camp and all this stuff. And, you know, he was getting everyone right, warmed up, all that stuff. And I'm the one who goes out to battle and, you know, shouts at them the whole time and tells them what I see and what to do and, you know, make sure their minds are right to, you know, go to war. But it's, you know, it's a joint effort. It's, you know, David's the head coach there. LJ's like, you know, I'm like the captain, and LJ's like the other brain and the talent, you know what I mean? Like, I'd say it's like the three of us, me, David, and LJ. But obviously, you know, David's is the main coach. I'm just kind of like the team captain. Like, I'm there, yeah, helping them out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?